who is unlimited, mayata, by the illusory energy, udyat, coming forth, api, although, yet, which, sat, real, eva, as if, avabhati, appears. Translation and purport by disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Therefore, this entire universe, which like a dream is by nature unreal, nevertheless appears real, and thus it covers one's consciousness and assails one with repeated miseries. This universe appears real because it is manifested by the potency of illusion emanating from you, whose unlimited transcendental forms are full of eternal happiness and knowledge. Purport. As an object of enjoyment or a permanent residence for the conditioned souls, the material universe is certainly illusion, nothing more than a dream. One may give the analogy that the vision of abundant water in a desert is no more than a dream, although real water exists elsewhere. Similarly, the vision of home, happiness and reality within matter is certainly no better than a foolish dream, in which repeated miseries appear. In another sense, however, the universe is real. In his commentary on Vedanta Sutra, Srila Madhavacharya has confirmed this by quoting the following statement from the Vedic Shruti Mantras. Satyam hene vedam vishvam ashrijita. This universe created by the Lord is real. The perfect authority of the Vedas that certifies this universe to be real. Nevertheless, because our knowledge is stolen by illusion, as indicated here by words astadishanam, we cannot properly understand this universe or the Supreme Lord who has created it. As the expansions of Lord Krishna, the universe is real and is meant for being engaged in this in his service. One who accepts the kingdom of God as home, the Lord himself as the object of love, and the material universe as paraphernalia for being engaged in the Lord's service, dwells within eternal reality wherever he may go within the material and spiritual worlds. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vishnupadaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gauravaktarunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Here this verse starts with the word Tasmat, therefore. So this is a summary of the previous verses which happened from 16th to 21st, where it is explained about the illusory potency of the Lord, where Lord shows in his mother's womb the universe. So Brahma is telling him like, the universe is outside and the universe is also inside you. Which one is real and which one is illusory? Because the universe within Krishna has also have Krishna in it and also Yashodamaya in it. And the universe outside of Krishna has Krishna in it and Yashodamaya in it. So both universe exist and both are the same universes. And Brahma glorifies the illusory potency of the Lord. No one can understand how this happens except one understands that Krishna is inconceivable. Like he cannot be conceived by our own senses or mind. Then Brahma continues glorifying the Lord about his pastimes. He explains his gunavataras. Krishna, you appeared as Shiva, you are appeared as Brahma, you appeared as Vishnu, your gunavataras, and you appeared here just to as many incarnation, as Boar, as Vamana, as Rama, as Krishna, just to deliver your devotees and also to destroy the pride of you, the demons who think that you are not God. And foolish people does not understand that you are God. They just think that you got a material form and appeared here. And then he says that you have unlimited glories. No one knows how you will appear, where you will appear and when you will appear. You have unlimited incarnations and you are always there in this universe. And this verse is a conclusion, like a summary of the before verses. Tasmad, therefore. And it talks about Tasmad idam jagat ashesha asat swarupam. This entire universe is a asat swarupam. Sat, as in Satchitananda. Sat means eternal. And asat means which is not eternal, which is temporary. And it is compared to a dream. A dream example is given here not in the sense of like it is false. The world is true, it exists. But it is temporary. Why it is temporary? Everything we see in the world never last. The happiness never last, the distress never last. Our family never last. Or anything which we have never lost. Either we have to leave the body, or the others have to leave the body, or we have to leave the positions we have. We cannot keep them with you. In that sense, it is temporary. Astadishanam. Astadishanam means unconscious, or who have lost the knowledge, or whose knowledge is stolen by illusion. And purudukka dukkam, full of miseries. And it is not dukkam, it is dukkha dukkam. More miseries, too many miseries. And we have mentioned about the dream, like in the dream we may see many things, like I may see a tiger chasing me, or sometimes I may see a beautiful forest or a waterfall. When the tiger chasing me, even in a dream, even it is an illusion, I still feel that if so much anxiety, I am running or I am afraid. When something beautiful comes in a dream, I am happy. So this happiness and distress which comes in our life has the same effect as in a dream, because they are temporary. They have no permanent existence. In a dream, our identity is temporary. We may assume ourselves as a king, or we may assume ourselves or dream ourselves as a Superman or something. But in reality, we are not that. Similarly, in this material world, we think ourselves as something. I am such and such a person. I am so great person. But you are not this body. So when this material body is finished, just like your dream is finished, you have to leave this body. If you read from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:39, like this, where the Kapila Muni explains about the adversity of the fruitive activities. It's a wonderful chapter where if anyone is not convinced that this material world is full of miseries, can read that chapter. You will be convinced. And there is a verse in that. Griheshu kuta dharmeshu dukkha tantresh anadritaha kurvan dukkha pratikaran sukvan manyate jagat. So what is happiness in this world, what people think as happiness, is counteracting the misery. Kurvan dukkha pratikaran sukvan manyate jagat. Dukkha is misery. Pratikaran means counteracting. And sukvan manyate jagat. People think it as a happiness. If I have, like, if somebody is suffering with cancer, and if somehow they fought it and they won, and they think, yeah, now I am happy because I have contracted my misery. And all the inventions which we see in this world, modern world, is just counteracting. I don't want to walk to my office, so I will invent a car so that my misery will go away of walking. They think my misery will go away of walking, and that is their happiness. It is not actual happiness, it is counteracting the misery. Anything we see in the world, other inventions, or any modern things, or even like I want to lose weight, that gives me happiness. It is not actually happiness, it is just counteracting the misery. I want to counteract the misery. So everywhere in the world this is going on. Kurvan dukkha pratikaran sukvan manyate jagat. People thinks that counteracting misery is happiness, but it is not. And Kapila Muni continues there. He explains that whatever form of body a living entity takes, he tries to find a certain type of satisfaction in that body. We may think what kind of satisfaction this pig may be getting, but that pig is thinking, I am so happy in this body. That is what this verse currently in the Brahma is praying, that mayat udyadapiyat sad ivavabhati, sad ivavabhati. Sat means real, iva means as if, avabhati appears. So this material is illusion, but because of your maya, it appears as if real. Even the people in this world thinks it is real. It is permanent. I can live here happily. Even a pig in a ditch thinks that I am happy in my body. I don't want to take any other body. I am happy with my piglets and my wife and my family. So he says like, MM yonim anurvrajet, tasyam tasyam salabate. MM yonim, whatever body he take, tasyam tasyam. He thinks I am happy. Even he is in, we may think like, oh, what is this abominable happiness they are having? But in their level, they think I am so happy. Once there is a story of Indra. Indra was cursed to become a pig. And then after his curses end, like Brahma comes, my dear sir, please come back. You have a responsibility to take as Indra. You are the king of the heaven. Please come back. Then Indra says, no, no, sir. I have my responsibility here. I have my wife and I have my piglets. I have to take care of them. And I am so happy here. I don't want to come. So even he is offered the position of king of heaven, Indra wants, when he is in a pig body, he wants to be there. He wants to be as a pig. Then Brahma shoots the arrow and reveals, cuts off his attachment and takes him back. So this shows like, I want to stay here. All the nationalism, communism, thisism, thatism, all this is going on because we want to stay here permanently. We don't want to leave this world. But the news is, you can't stay in this world permanently. Your kingdom, your wealth, your family, your wife, your land, everything you have to leave and go. Go to the next body, again, you can't stay there permanently. You have to keep on going. So this shows that this is not happiness. This is just like temporary thing. Even the temporary happiness which we think is an illusion. Because when this whole material world, it is in negative axis, full of distress. If I pinch somebody, Prabhuji, Prabhuji, don't pinch me, don't pinch me. But if I leave him, oh, now I am happy. The happiness is just a relief. And then, oh, are you happy now? Yes, because you are not pinching me. And whatever other happinesses we get, like, okay, I may feel happy if I eat nice food, but how much we can eat? A little bit? If we eat more, we get disease. Again, misery. And how long we can enjoy? How much we can enjoy and how long we can enjoy? The enjoyment which we have is just a minute amount and everything is misery. But why is that I feel that I am not in a miserable condition? Why is that I feel that I am so happy in this? Kapila Muni and here Brahma explains, that is the illusion. Maya has two phases of activities. One is called Avaranatmika and another is Prakshepatmika. Avaranatmika means covering, Prakshepatmika means pulling down. This covering potency of Maya acts on us and then we think, okay, I am happy. I can become happy. Just I have to do this. I can become happy. Hope after hope, he just tries to become happy. I will just one more thing I have to do. I will become happy. But it is never going to come. Prabhupada says like, accepting body as self, land as worshipable, other kinsmen of this body are mine, is an animal civilization. So, I think, okay, I am this body and these are my relatives and others are my enemy. And this world which I am born, I am an Indian, you are an American. So we just, you are a Pakistani, we have to fight. All this is just animal civilization because that's what dogs do. Dogs stay in one street, if you see in India, and they won't allow the other dogs to come into their street. They just bark, don't come into my street. This is the line. You can't enter my area. So this is just animal civilization. I'll just read out a few lines which I took from Prabhupada's purport. When, however, one is enlightened in Krishna consciousness, he can use these for the service of the Lord. That is very suitable position. Everything has relationship with Krishna. When all economic development and material advancement are utilized to advance the cause of Krishna consciousness, a new phase of progressive life arises. So here Prabhupada says that whatever advancement we have, whatever material things we possess, whatever we have or whatever we do, if we use them for for the cause of advancement of Krishna consciousness, then a phase of new progressive life arises. Because that is like we are using for Krishna, we are using for something permanent, which is not temporary, it is not a dream. We say that if you see while filling an application, we write what is your current address and what is your permanent address. Current address is where you are and permanent address is where you have, where is your permanent home. But actually there is no permanent address in this material world. The only permanent address is Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan. You have to go back to that. So even in the material world there is no permanent address. People just say that, can you give your permanent address so that we can mail you, but our permanent address is not here because we are going to die. That's a fact. If you see in this verse, there are three qualities of mention about this jagat, this material world. One is asat swarupam swapnam, astadishanam purudukka dukkam. If you see them, asat swarupam means asat, not eternal. Astadishanam means illusion. Purudukka dukkam means misery. They are completely opposite to sat, chit and ananda. Sat is eternal, chit is full of knowledge, and ananda is full of happiness. So this material world is quite opposite to what is the spiritual world. Even if you see the third line of this verse, we can see Tvayeva nitya sukabodha tanavananti. This describes about the Lord. Lord, you have unlimited potencies, you have unlimited incarnations, and all your incarnations are nitya, eternal, sukha, happy, bodhi, full of consciousness. So this nitya sukha bodha is opposite to what is asat, astadishanam and purudukka dukkam. Then now what is the solution, what we can do so that we can be happy, happy in this world? I took a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.15. You can repeat after me. Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchatabhayam. This shloka explained, O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify and remember the personality of Godhead, who is the super soul, the controller and savior of all miseries. So if you want to get out of miseries, what we have to do? Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishwaro Harihi. That Lord who is the supreme controller, Harihi. Hari means one who takes away all the miseries. Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha. Chant about him, hear about him. And Smartavyascha Ichchata Abhayam. If you are Ichchata means if you desire, Abhayam means if you don't want to fear, if you want to become freedom, if you want to have freedom, Abhayam means freedom. Ichchata Abhayam, if you desire freedom, then Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha, Smartavyascha, chant about him, hear about him and remember him. If you chant and hear and we remember him. And even if you go to Kapila Muni's pastimes, there Devahuti asks, can you explain me about devotional service? What should I do? What is the best thing to do? There is like a full chapter of glories of devotional service. I saw one verse which is interesting, which says that if you do long time hearing, then you will attain liberation from all your miseries. I thought it's okay, it's maybe Prabhupada is saying long time hearing. No, it's Krishna actually in the verse says, Shruta Sambratya Chiram. Chiram means longam. Shruta, hearing. Sambratya Chiram, endowed with hearing. So he says, hear about me and hear from me. Hear from me is like Bhagavatam or any other pastime where Krishna is talking, Krishna is talking to Uddhava, Krishna is teaching to Uddhava, or Krishna when he appears in front of devotees, he teaches his devotees. And hear about me. Hear about me is from the devotees, from the Lord and from the devotees. Once he hear, and how much time I have to hear, sir? You have to hear for a long time. By long time hearing, all your impurities in the heart will be gone away. So, what if I don't have attraction for hearing? What do I have to do? There is a verse which Parikshit Maharaj says to Sukadeva Goswami. He wants to encourage Sukadeva Goswami. He wants to show Sukadeva Goswami, I want to hear. I want to hear. Please tell more. Please tell more about Krishna. This verse is from 10th canto. Yat shrinvato paiti aratir vitrishna satvam chashudyati achirena pumsa bhaktir harau tavat purucheta sakyam tadeva haran vadamanyasechet. It says, yat shrinvato paiti aratir vitrishna. Aratir. Rati means attraction. Arati means no attraction. And paiti aratir vitrishna. If you hear about Krishna, the aratir will go away. The unattraction means if because of impurities in our heart, we don't have attraction to hear about Krishna. But still, if you continue to hear about Krishna, that aratir will also go away. How does that happen? Once we hear about the pure qualities of Krishna, because Krishna is transcendental, He is within our heart. He knows that we are sincere and He knows that you are hearing and you are at least trying to hear. It says here, even you try to hear, even you try to hear, He knows that you are within His, He is within our heart and He knows that you are hearing and He purifies our heart. By purifying our heart, the aratir will go away. We may see that sometimes we feel asleep in the class. That sleep comes because we don't have attraction for hearing about Krishna. That is called aratir. That sleep will come because we have so much impurities in our heart. And that impurities will be gone, will be cleared, like brushed, super clean, when you hear about Krishna. Even though you don't have attraction for Krishna, continue to hear about Krishna. Then whatever that unattraction you have will be gone. Then you will be pure and you will hear more. And that is the solution, and that is what you have to do. Like, the solution is hearing Krishna, and the achievement is hearing Krishna. It's the same. Like, I want to chant Krishna's holy name. Why? Because I can chant more. I can chant so that I can purify my heart. I can chant more. The solution and the achievement of the goal are both of the same. So here it's Prabhupada is saying the same. One who accepts the God as home, Lord Himself as object of love, and material universe as paraphernalia, for them, for being engaged in Lord's service, dwells within eternal reality wherever he may go within the material or spiritual worlds. So here we first talked about the person who thought this world is real. But it is an illusion, but still they think that this world is real. This is asat, but they think this is sat. That's what it means, sad ivava bhati. But there is another case also for whom this sat is applicable in a true sense. That means this world is real. That is for those who engage this world in the service of Krishna. That is for For that person who uses his stay in this world to attain the goal, for him this world is real. In sense, this world becomes like Vaikuntha. Lord is the creator of this world and Lord is the goal of this world. If one uses his stay in this world to achieve the goal, that is Lord, then this world becomes a Vaikuntha for him. He is Jivan Mukta. Even though he is living it in this material world, for him this world is like Vaikuntha. And one, like Prabhupada here says, one has to understand why Lord created this world and then use this world as a paraphernalia for being engaged in the Lord's service. Lord created this world for reformation. Like, we are put in a jail. Why does anybody send to a jail? So that he can reform himself and come back as a good citizen. So Lord put us here so that we can reform ourselves and come back. And whatever we do in this world, if you use it for Lord's service, then our life will become successful. And even though we are living in this world is like Vaikuntha. And all we have to do is hear about Lord, hear about Lord, hear about Lord. If you don't have taste to hear about Lord, still hear about Lord. That will give you a taste. And there is one another powerful thing which gives taste for hearing, that is serving Vaishnavas. If you serve Vaishnavas, then because they have Lord within their heart, who can give us bhakti? Is not, because bhakti we cannot achieve by ourselves. Bhakti is not something we can gain by our sadhana. Bhakti is given. But who can give us the Lord? Who can give us bhakti? Those who has bhakti in their heart can give us bhakti. And that people are called devotees, Vaishnavas. If you do Vaishnava seva, if you serve devotees in any way, in a humble manner, if you please them little, then they can bless us. By their blessings, we will get that rati, to hear, that attraction to hear about Lord. Then by long time hearing and by hearing about the Lord continuously, we will get attraction and then we can achieve the highest goal, prema. At that time, even though we are staying in this world, we are not of this world. We are like Jivan Muktas. And today is appearance day of Sri Madhavendra Puri and Srinivas Acharya. So I just, because we talked about the glories of hearing and the glories of a devotee, for a devotee this world is like a Vaikuntha. Is there any person in this world who lived like that? There are many Vaishnavas, pure devotees, who are serving the Lord continuously, eternally, even staying in this material world. So we'll talk about one person whose appearance is today, Sri Madhavendra Puri. Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, after taking sannyas, he is traveling towards Vrindavan. And on his way, they decided to go back. Okay, not going to Vrindavan, we are going to Puri. So on the way to Puri, they travel and while they are traveling, they are completely ecstatic, doing kirtan and so much glorious. Everyone is dancing and singing. And on the way, they stopped in a village called Balasur and a holy place called Remuna. At that place, they stopped and they went inside a temple of Gopinath. There Mahaprabhu, after seeing Gopinath, was so ecstatic. He is dancing, singing, and devotees never saw Mahaprabhu in such an ecstasy. And he is falling on the ground, and waking up, and then chanting, again dancing, and then again falling on the ground. And they want to inquire about, what is this place? Mahaprabhu, can you talk about this place? Can you explain us, why are you so ecstatic in Prema Bhakti? And while in Gopinath temple, every day there is 12 pots of kheer which is offered. And Mahaprabhu want to taste that kheer. And while the offering is going on, he want to explain to the devotees what is this place about. And then he talks about what he heard from his guru, Ishwar Puri, about his guru, Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is the guru of Ishwar Puri and Mahaprabhu is disciple of Ishwar Puri. He explains, once Madhavendra Puri traveled to Vrindavan, there in the Govind Kund, he took bath and he went into meditation. He was chanting and he slept. He was fasting for the whole day. And then Krishna as Gopal appeared in his dream, Krishna appeared as a small boy there, not in a dream. He says, my dear sir, I heard that you are fasting whole day. In this place, nobody fasts. At least somebody went for begging something, or somebody at least take some milk. I heard from some women like who are taking water from the Govind Kund that you are fasting. So they gave me this pot of milk. I brought it for you. Please drink. Then he drinks the milk and he goes into sleep. And Gopal appears to him in his dream and asks him, my dear Madhavendra Puri, I am the same Krishna who appeared to you as a small boy. I am in a bush, under a bush. It is full of cold. It is sometimes heat, sometimes cold. I want you to serve me. Please excavate me from that bush, under the bush, wherever it is hidden, and establish a temple. And Madhavendra Puri goes there with the Vrindavan Vasis and he brings out the Gopal and he establishes him on the top of the mountain. And they do like an Annakota ceremony where all the Vrajavasis come there and they offered whatever they have. They cooked like tons of food which covers the entire mountain, top of the mountain. We can see here that the Vrajavasis didn't think that, okay, what about tomorrow? If I offer everything to Krishna, what about tomorrow? They never thought like that. That is called selfless service. They are in a mood of selfless service and they are engaged by the Guru, Madhavendra Puri. And after years passed, like 2 years passed, Madhavendra Puri has lot of disciples and everyone in Vrindavan is serving Gopal. And in a dream he got, Madhavendra Puri, that my body temperature is extremely hot. I want you to go to Bengal and bring me sandalwood. Here we see that we may be happy in a situation where we are. We may be happy that we are currently, I am doing devotional service and Krishna is giving me facility. I am happy here. But that is not the situation here with Madhavendra Puri. He has all the facilities. He has a wonderful temple. He has disciples to follow. And he has devotees who are offering wonderful gifts. And he has service to Krishna going on. And he is happy there. But when Krishna comes in his dream and asks him, now you have to go and bring me sandalwood, he immediately left. He didn't send his disciples, he didn't send his devotees. Krishna gave me instruction, now I have to leave. That is a test. When Krishna provides us facilities and when we are happy using our facilities, how do we know that we are using it for sense gratification or we are using for Krishna service? The test is when you are asked to leave your facilities. If you are attached to your facilities, then you are using it for sense gratification. But if you are willing to leave your facilities for the service of Krishna, that facilities are provided by Krishna. And if Guru says, now you have to leave this place and go out and preach, then you have to leave this place and go out and preach. That is Krishna service. Otherwise, it is just sense gratification in the mask of Krishna service. That's what Madhavendra Puri is showing us with his life. When Krishna asked him, go to Bengal and bring me sandalwood. At the time there is no Indian airlines or Indian railways to go. He has to walk. He walked from Vrindavan to Bengal. And it's not like a clear path. Like he can walk happily. It's a forest, it's a jungle. Still he walked because he don't have his personal agenda while doing his service. His only thing I have in my mind, my only duty is I want to serve Krishna. I want to please Krishna. That is his only thought in his mind. I want to serve Krishna. I want to please Krishna. That should be our goal in our life. I want to serve Krishna. I want to serve my guru and devotees. That's what I want. Everything for Krishna, nothing for me. So when we have that mood in our mind, then we can achieve that prema. Then we can achieve that rati, attraction. Because if we lead our life in possessing material things, then we will be in maya, illusion. Here it says, everything temporary, people thinks it as permanent because of illusion. So what we have to do now, what we have to do is minimize maya time and maximize Krishna time. Repeat after me. Minimize maya time, maximize Krishna time. Minimize maya time, maximize Krishna time. So maximize your time with Krishna, maximize, serve Krishna, hear about Krishna, and minimize everything you are trying to possess material, because everything is provided to you. Whatever is required to you to do your duty, to protect your family, to have a healthy life, keep that much and do that much, whatever is enough. And don't over endeavor to possess more. You can have possessions and use your possessions for Krishna, but don't over endeavor and go into illusion of maya. As Madhavendra Puri is doing, we should one day reach the stage of his pure devotion. We may be here, you may say that I am not Madhavendra Puri, I am a little person, but there are stars, there are stairs. We can use the stairs to reach the stars, the position of Prema Bhakti. We can reach there. All we have to do is step by step, follow in the steps of pure devotees, follow in the steps of Madhavendra Puri, follow in the steps of Prabhupada. Prabhupada never said like, oh, I want to stay in Vrindavan and chant Radhe Radhe. No, he left Vrindavan and he go out and preached. He went out and preached. He traveled 21 times across the world to preach. He had heart attacks, but still his only goal in life is, my spiritual master told me I have to go and preach. I am going to do that. And I don't care about what happens. That's what here same we can see in all the acharyas in our line. The same thing repeats. Whatever my spiritual master says, whatever Krishna says, I will do. It's not for me, it's for them. And then Mahaprabhu continues. He is with Nityananda Prabhu. He says, who is there more fortunate person than Madhavendra Puri? Who is most fortunate? Because Krishna appeared to him and he gave him instructions. And who is most fortunate? There is another instruction which Krishna gave, because Madhavendra Puri is going on the way to get the sandalwood with so many obstacles. And then he goes to a temple called Gopinath, where 12 parts of kheer is offered to Krishna. It is like amrita. He heard like it is so delicious. And he want to have a little taste of that kheer. And he does not want it for him. He want to taste it so that he can offer the same thing to the Gopal in Vrindavan. And then he thinks, oh, I don't have to desire like that, because it is not yet offered to Krishna. It is a bhoga. How can I desire like I want to taste this kheer? So he left this place and go forward, and he stays in a village. That night, the pujari of the temple gets a dream. My dear pujari, I saved one pot of kheer back of the altar for my devotee, Madhavendra Puri. Please go and deliver it to him. Then the pujari wakes up and he goes. He searches for Madhavendra Puri. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Then finally he finds him. This is the pot of kheer which Krishna stole it for you. You are such a great soul. Please have it. And Madhavendra Puri had it full, and he even breaks the pot and make it as a powder, and daily he will eat a piece of it. And he knows that he is glorified everywhere. Wherever he goes, he is glorified. Oh, this is the same Madhavendra Puri where Gopinath has stolen the kheer. And even the name of Gopinath became Kheerchor Gopinath. And wherever he goes, he is glorified. He don't want to have any glories for him. So he immediately leaves the village. But when he reaches Bengal, he wants to serve Lord. He wants to get the sandalwood. In those days and even now, the sandalwood is not that easy to get. It's very costly. So how to get it? He knows that he is glorified and he is very glorious person. So he uses whatever fame he has in Krishna service. I am such and such Madhavendra Puri, for whom Gopal appeared in a dream, and for whom you heard like Kheerchor Gopinath has stolen the kheer for. Can you please arrange me a sandalwood, like a tons of sandalwood, so that I can go and serve Gopal? So he is using his fame not for his own personal agenda. He is using his fame for serving Krishna. How do we know that? How can I know I am using my fame for serving Krishna or not? Because whenever he sees that the fame is coming and without service, he just runs away from there. I don't want any fame. I don't want to be glorified. I am a humble servant. In that mood only we can achieve the pure devotional service. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishuna amanina amanadena kirtaneya sadahari. Only in this mood of a humble servant we can achieve pure devotional service. That humble service is shown, exemplified by Madhavendra Puri in his life. And he collects a sandalwood and camphor and he returns back. Krishna as Gopal thinks, oh, this Bengal is completely filled with Mohammedans. Maybe it is dangerous for him to come back. He arranges for Madhavendra Puri that he comes in a dream. When he reaches Gopinath temple back, here he comes in a dream. He explains, my dear Madhavendra Puri, I have received your sandalwood. Just offer it to Gopinath. I am the same Gopinath who is living there. If you offer the same sandalwood to Gopinath, I will receive it. Here, Madhavendra Puri does not want to stay back because he is afraid, or he don't want to go back. Maybe what will happen if somebody caught me, or somebody, if a thief comes and kill me. He is not afraid of that. He is focused on his service. I want to serve Krishna. And any obstacle comes, I will face it. I will go and serve Krishna. He is going there. But Krishna, he does not want to cause any difficulties to his devotees. He just want to show the world that, see how glorious is my devotee, how glorious is Madhavendra Puri. Even though he has all the facilities, he left the facilities to go and bring a sandalwood for me. A devotee is willing to take any risk for service of Krishna, for the service of Guru and for service of devotees. That should be our mood. We may not be there, but we should not say that I am not there, and we should not stop endeavoring. We should endeavor. And how can I get that mood? By hearing. Hear about Krishna. Hear about Krishna. Once we hear about Krishna, our heart will be purified, and that mood will arise, that rati will arise. And sometimes we may feel that, okay, what am I doing here? I am in this office working, or I am in the temple lifting bhoga or bringing bhoga, or today Saturday bhoga lifting. So what am I doing? I should be going to Vrindavan, and I should be doing Radhe Radhe, or I should be chanting under a tree. But if you see our acharyas, they didn't have their personal agenda, or they didn't have their mind concoctions. Even Rupa Goswami said, you should go to Vrindavan and you should stay under Radha Kund. But if you look at the Nectar of Instructions, the first verse does not say go to Vrindavan or go to Radha Kund. That's the ultimate thing. But the first verse says, you first control your senses. First control your senses, then there are steps to follow, then you go to Radha Kund. It's not the first step you have to do. First control your senses. So for controlling senses, what we have to do? Follow in the footsteps of Guru. Do as Guru said to do. Don't have your own concoctions. Oh, now I have to go to Vrindavan and become Radhe Radhe and do chanting, or sit under a tree. That's not what Prabhupada said us to do. Prabhupada says, whatever Guru says, you follow it. And if Prabhupada says, serve inside the temple, serve in a temple. If Prabhupada says, clean the pots, wash the pots, wash the pots. This kitchen will become Vrindavan. The washing pots will become your Radhe Radhe. If you serve in the mood of humility, if you serve in the mood of service to Guru and Krishna. Thank you very much. I never spoke any time before, gave any lecture before. Whatever I have said, there may be many mistakes and blunders. Please forgive me. This is my first time speaking in front of any audience. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any comments?
Very nice class, and you gathered so many points from different slokas. That's very nice. And one thing I want to clarify or a correction, whatever way you think. So about Madhavendra Puri's pastimes, actually Lord says that in his dream that you have to go to Malaydesh, not Bengal. Malaydesh is a Uri in Odisha, Jagannath Puri, not Bengal. He used the word Bengal.
Passes through the Bengal.
Passes through the Bengal. But we are supposed to go to Malaydesh. In ancient times, Jagannath Puri is called Malaydesh. So, yes, good. And regarding that, about this, today's verse, so we see there is a little confusion. Thing is that in the first line you read the translation. So can you clarify that? It appears like unreal.
Yeah.
But in fact it is real. So that point I'm not able to catch, because sometimes it is stated, you know, Prabhupada used to say all the time, you know, in Mayavadis they say Brahma's Mithya Jagat, you know, Jagat Mithya, Brahma Satya. Brahman Satya, Jagat Mithya. So the first line, can you read again?
Here the translation appears real. Here, real, as you can see, this real word came into translation from the word in the shloka, sad ivavabhati, sat means real. The word actually sat real means eternal, as in the meaning. Sat real means the spiritual world which is sat, which is real, as in eternal sense. This world is asat, unreal, as in the sense of temporary, not in the sense of false. This world is not false. This world is true, but temporary. So here appears real means appears as if eternal, as see, appears as if permanent. If you can read the, if you can see the purport, as an object of enjoyment, as a permanent residence for the conditioned souls, the universe is certainly illusion. So as a permanent residence for the conditioned souls, in that sense this world is not real, not in the sense of this world is false. It is true, but it is temporary. Does it explains?
Hare Krishna, brother. Thank you for your class. It's really nice to hear devotees who you see always around. And like personally, my personal view is that you were very shy and quiet, and it's nice to hear people give very profound classes when you never hear them speak. So thank you for that class. And you made a lot of wonderful points. The point you were making that I'd like to comment, maybe you could expand on, is that everything, nothing for us, everything for Krishna. And about fame, we should use personal fame for Krishna and not for our own personal agenda. And so Prabhupada used a famous analogy, because all the opulences of Krishna, fame, beauty, knowledge, renunciation. So he uses an example in the past. I don't remember which verse, but maybe you could check out the pastime where Daksha criticizes Shiva at the great sacrifice. Yeah. So in that pastime, Prabhupada gives a famous analogy. He says that all of our opulences are like zero. Now, when you write all zeros on a check, it's worthless. But if you put a one on the check, then it becomes worthwhile. It has some value to it. And we see materialist politicians, they don't have Krishna in their life. They don't add Krishna to life. So we see everything they do leads to their degradation. And but sometimes we see that spiritualists also, you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're reading Bhagavatam, or etc. In a Bhagavatam, you see many passages where great spiritualists, they also act more or less just like materialists. So one thing that came to mind regarding Prabhupada's analogy is that depending on where we put the one on the check, it becomes either worthwhile or worthless. If we put the one at the end of the check, it just is basically being like worthless. So sometimes, how do we know, my question is whether we're putting Krishna first or whether we're putting Krishna last. If we put Krishna last, we're pretty much just like a materialist. So how do we know in our own Krishna consciousness whether we're actually putting Krishna first or last?
Wonderful question. I have to think about it.
Please comment once you
It is not a material like putting Krishna in the last. Because for example, Prabhupada gave our name, ki temple deity name, Kishore Kishori. So everywhere Kishori should come first, Radha Krishna. Like that. But Jitendra Prabhu must have remembered that Prabhupada used to quote one nice, serving the last for the best, something Acharya, I think. Yes? Yeah, best one. Yeah, so that is why Prabhupada gave the first name here, Kishore, then Kishori. So not, but every temple has first Radharani, then Krishna. So it is not material, it is spiritual.
So, maybe my answer may not be perfect, but I can just comment on the question. Like you ask, like, how do I know whether I have Krishna first or Krishna last? We can. This is just my comment. Maybe my answer is not perfect. It is not perfect, but like you can see from your heart transformation. If you keep Krishna first, that means you are accepting You are first. I am your servant and you are my master. If you keep Krishna first, then we have our heart transformed as a humble servant. I am servant of the servant of the servant and you are the master. If you have that transformation in our heart, then that means that in your life you have Krishna first. If somebody says a word to you, if somebody something says bad to you, if you are getting affected, if you are feeling a pinch in your heart, that means you are having you as main. You have your collars up. I, such a person, how can you say this to me? I am such a such. That means you are having you as a center of your world than Krishna or his devotees. Then if you have Krishna or devotees as your master, as the first priority, then you will be in the mood of humble servant, das, das and das. We can see how much I am affected by the things which are done to me. How much I am affected with, if a small thing is said to me, even, Prabhu, you are so good. You can do so many glorious things. You does a wonderful service. You does wonderful class. You gives wonderful class. You sings. Your singing is amazing. Your harmonium is super. But, and even though he glorified you a lot, the word but what? Tell me, but what? So this but word pinches us more than the glories which we had. That means we had false pride. That means we are not in the mood of servant of servant. So if we are in the mood of servant, then even though devotees may sometimes or say something which is for our own good, we won't be affected. I am not there. I'm just saying what I heard from Guru and Prabhupada. One day I hope by your blessings I will be there. I don't know who is. Yeah, we can talk personally.
You say your answer wasn't perfect, but it was a very beautiful answer, very nice, enlightening answer that Krishna just inspired to you. So you were mentioning that once, I really appreciate a point, once we feel a pinch and everything, they're glorifying us, but that one but kind of cancels out everything. And we see in the material world that 99 people could glorify us, and one person doesn't glorify us, then we don't care. We're ungrateful for the 99. We only meditate on that one person. And so my question is also regarding a point I was meditating on actually this morning, is that sometimes when people criticize or insult us in a different language, we're peaceful because we don't understand the language. And so as children, we don't know the meaning of anything. And so sometimes when our parents raise us, they tell us so many things. Oh, what does this racist sexist word mean? I heard it today. I'm completely peaceful. Once they tell us, we're completely enraged. And so we see that once we know the meaning of words, or so-called meaning of words, which bodily identification, like Prabhupada went to Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Bhakti Tirtha Swami says, your movement is nice, but sometimes people are treating me like the body. But Prabhupada says, why are you upset? You're not the body. There's a verse that Prabhupada always quoted, Sarvapati Vinir Mutam Tapadadrena Nimram Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. When one is free from all the upadis of identifying with the body, just like, I don't know the meaning of I don't even know the meaning of the word woman or black or so many, you know, degrading words when we're children. And so we're always happy, but once our parents teach us these things. So my question is that we're conditioned by so many words. We know the language, we know the meaning of them, and we know we're supposed to give up these upadis that we're not the body, but since we're being conditioned from our very birth that these words mean these things, as soon as we hear a word, you know, criticizing our nationality, our creed, our color, still the agitation comes, and therefore we may not physically try to give it revenge, but we're hurting ourselves internally. So how to get rid of that? It seems like it's practically impossible to get rid of that conditioning, since we've learned the language already. We know the upadis and we identify them. So yeah. What is a person to do, you know, in that situation? How can we?
I have a shloka for you. It's from Srimad Bhagavatam 4:40-45. Yatendrante katamrishtas trishyan prashmo trishyaha prashmo yata nirvairam yatra bhuteshu nodvego yatra kaschana. Nirvairam, non-envious, yatra, where, bhuteshu, among living entities, no dvego, not fear. So if whatever, wherever pure topics of transcendental world are discussed, the members of the audience forget all kinds of material hankerings, at least for time being. Not only that, they are no longer envious of one another, nor do they suffer from anxiety or fear. The solution is Srimad Bhagavatam. We heard about Prahlad Maharaj. Whatever our parents we heard from, or our friends we heard from, he said worse things than that to Prahlad. But how is he able to... He's not affected because he heard from Narada Muni. He knows about Krishna. He heard from Narada Muni when he is in womb, and he is always remembering Krishna. The solution is Srimad Bhagavatam. Here it says that Trishya Prashamoyata Nirvairam Yatra Bhuteshu means one will become non-envious. Nodvego Yatra Kashchana. He will become unafraid, like he will become fearless. How? By hearing Yatridante Kata Mrishtas. Kata, that words. Mrishtas, pure Kata. So once, if we hear pure Kata, our enviousness will go away, our fear will go away. How does it happen? It is beautifully explained. Like, if a person is lifting 80 pounds of load, then I want to compete with him. I will lift 90 pounds. If he lift 140 pounds, I will lift 150 pounds. Then this competition is going on, this envious is going on. But once if you hear about Krishna, Krishna loves Govardhan Hill. Okay. There is no chance. I can't compete with Krishna. By hearing about Krishna's pastimes, our heart will be purified. I can't compete with Krishna. Better to become his servant. And even it is said, even like Prabhupada says, if someone has psychological disease of too much hatred, we should tell him to read Srimad Bhagavatam. If someone has psychological disease of too much hatred, we should tell them to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a solution. Hear, hear, hear. Long time hearing, your arati will go away. You will get rati, attraction for Krishna. So the solution is Srimad Bhagavatam. Krantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
I look back.